Well, good morning, Wiley Methodist Church. Morning in the building. God bless you. If you're online worshiping with you this morning, we encourage you to encounter the Lord as we press in and seek His face. Let's stand and worship together.
Just one.
Amen. But we can also celebrate like a madman and a madwoman on this side of eternity. So if you want to clap your hands, feel free to do that. If you don't, that's fine too. Here we go. Next verse. Shout. Can we do that this morning? Yes. I think he's pleased when we do that. Amen. Amen. Lord, we love you, and God, you are worth shouting about. Lord, you are magnificent. Father, you're glorious, wonderful. Lord, all the adjectives we could throw your way would not do you justice. Father, we just praise you for who you are. God, I just pray you protect us this morning in this house as we worship you, as we sit under teaching, as we adore you. God, just bless our time. Father, we just want to bless your heart, and we want to bless others as well. So allow your face to shine upon us this morning. We praise you for who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. The children will join Miss Carlene up front for the children's sermon.
Good? All right. Hey, girls. Good to see everybody. Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Are you really quiet today?
Yeah.
Okay. Are y'all going to be really quiet all day?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Well, that's good. All right. Well, that's all right. So, did everybody have a good week?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Do what? Did you say something? No? Okay. Well, I'm excited. It's been a really good week. And so, I was just thinking about everything that God has created. Have you ever thought about everything that God's created?
Nope.
No? 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 Okay. So,
yeah.
Yes? Okay. So, I have. So, this morning, I've got a poem I'm going to read you. But what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes. And I want you, like, to think about all the things that I'm going to be talking about. And just imagine God's beautiful world. Okay? And I'm not going to talk about everything. I'm just going to talk about a few things. But just imagine how creative God is. And how amazing he is that he knew how to make all, that he made all these things for us, okay? So close your eyes. Okay, it says, God created a big, wonderful world. God created animals that were big and strong, elephants, lions, bears, and giraffe. Close your eyes, okay? God created animals that were small and fluffy, rabbits, kittens, puppies, and guinea pigs. God created mountains that are proud and tall, that we can climb to the top and see this wonderful world. God created the beaches that go for miles and miles, where we feel the sand between our toes and find seashells in the sand. God created trees that give us apples, oranges, bananas to eat, and shade to rest under when the sun is shining. God created beautiful flowers that dance in the wind. God created lakes swimming with big fish and little fish. God created oceans so big and wide where whales and dolphins dive. God created the sun to shine so bright during the day and the moon and stars to twinkle at night. God created dark storm clouds that bring us rain to water the earth. God created white clouds that just float by. God created boys and girls to run and jump and play and laugh and dance and sing and celebrate each day. What a wonderful world God has created for us. Okay, open your eyes. What was your favorite thing that I read? Can you name some things that I read? What's your favorite thing that God made? What? Puppies and guinea pigs. All right. What else? Yes. What? Giraffes. Okay. What else? Eli? What? Bearded dragons. Okay. All right. Anything else that maybe I didn't mention that you just absolutely think is great? That's just so amazing that God made. What? Houses? Okay. Well, you know, when you think about God's world, we just mentioned a few things. Everything out there is for us to be enjoyed. God created it for us. Did you know that? He created it just for us to enjoy. Do we always enjoy God's creation?
Yeah.
We do all the time?
Mostly.
Mostly? Okay, that's right. Well, you know, we need to be thankful for everything that God has done for us. He created this beautiful world. He is with us. He is watching over us. He is guiding us, and he's leading us. So this week, I want you just to look around the world at the things that God has made and be thankful. Can y'all do that? Can y'all do that? Okay, and it says in Genesis 1:31, God looked at everything it made, and it was good. Did you know that? Can you say it was good?
Good.
All right, well, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you created this beautiful world for us. I thank you that you love us so much that you cared about every detail, the trees, the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the big animals, the little animals, Lord. You had a plan for everything, and you have a plan for each one of us, Lord. We just thank you for your love for us, and we just praise you for your grace and your love as we move through each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all ready to go? All right.
All right. Hello. Good morning. For those of you who might not know me yet, I'm Naomi Wood, and I get the privilege of talking to you a little bit about shoeboxes. For those of you who've been here for a while, you know that we've been collecting shoeboxes here for a couple of years now. But if you're new, you'll get to hear all about it this morning. I'm excited. Last year, this congregation, in addition to the 328 shoeboxes that we collected, gave over $4,500 to help with the shipping of the shoeboxes that we collected and also to purchase supplies to pack shoeboxes. And so today, I just wanted to share with you, those of you who donated instead of packing your own, we were able to purchase enough supplies to pack 200 shoeboxes with what you donated, which was really exciting and so much fun. So thank you. Our original plan was to pack those 200 shoeboxes at Vacation Bible School. We collected all the materials, and we had them all ready for the kids to get to do that. And as you know, Vacation Bible School was a little different this year. We did family camps at homes instead of big Vacation Bible School. So this week, the youth group and several individuals and families helped to pack most of the 200 shoeboxes. There's some kids that are going to be packing during the school year, hopefully. But for those of you who donated, I wanted to show you a little bit. As you can see, some of the shoeboxes we could barely even close because we were able to fill them with so much goodness. Each child is going to get either a soccer ball or like a Barbie doll or maybe a stuffed animal for some of the younger kids. There's soap and a wash rag. They each got toothbrushes and a game and a pump if they got a soccer ball. We put a flashlight in there. If those of you were here and got to hear Kalulu's story, it inspired me to try to make sure they had flashlights. So they each got a flashlight with batteries. They got notebooks with pencils and pens. And so they got some school supplies. So these are just boxes full of great things and love. And for those of you who donated, you are responsible for making that happen. So thank you for those 200 boxes. Kitten is going to be closing us with a prayer over the shoeboxes to dedicate them and just ask God that they would go where they need to be. Operation Christmas Child is still planning to collect shoeboxes this year. They know that this year will look different. No one's exactly sure what it's going to be like in November, but they plan to pack and collect shoeboxes one way or another because they still believe that even more so, children around the world need to hear that Jesus loves them and find out who he is at this time. So we're really going to just continue to pray into that and hope that we can be a blessing to other people. So before I turn it over to Kitten, we are going to get to hear from someone who received a shoebox in Ukraine, I believe. So if Arlis or Lee has that video.
Здравствуйте, Wiley Methodist Church. My name is Vladimir, and I am a shoebox recipient from Kiev, Ukraine. I received one of these beautiful and colorful shoeboxes when I was only 9 years old. And what a blessing this gift was, not only for myself, but also for the whole family. And for me, it was extra special because this was my first Christmas gift ever. And it wouldn't be possible if it wasn't for the wonderful, hardworking people like you. And speaking of wonderful, hardworking people, I hear that you've been faithfully serving as a drop-off location and you packed hundreds of shoeboxes last year. I mean, if you think about it, that's several hundred people got to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ all because of you. And so today I would just like to share my testimony with you in hopes that perhaps it would encourage you to continue doing all the good that you've already been doing. So I come from a family of 9 children. My father was an underground minister in Kiev, Ukraine. My father risked his life preaching the gospel on the streets of Kiev at the time when it wasn't popular or allowed. And because my father was a believer living in a communist country, he was hindered from advancing in the society. So my father had to settle for low-paying jobs that resulted in us having to take turns to go outside to play because we only had so many pairs of shoes. We had to share toothbrushes. We didn't have access to a lot of toys, but we made our own toys. We made yo-yos out of Coca-Cola caps. We played with our shoes, pretended they were cars. And as for food, we pretty much grew up on rice and potatoes, which I often jokingly say that we were vegetarians and we didn't even know it. And we grew up in a tiny 3-bedroom apartment with barely any heating and cooling. We didn't have a washer and a dryer, so my mom, she had to do all the laundry by hand. And because of the amount of laundry that my mom had to do, her skin would often crack and bleed. And then mom, she would stay up all night and she would make socks and underwear for us out of old clothes or donated material. So we grew up very poor on the inside of the apartment walls and we were heavily persecuted on the outside. But in the middle of all that, we were invited to come to a Christmas celebration. And we had to hop on a bus and then on a tram just to get to this location. And when we pulled up at this location, I was walking in at the same time with the girl that I recognized from my class. But I was very surprised to see this girl there because I knew for a fact this girl was not a Christian. And for some reason, I assumed that this event was only for Christians. But to my surprise, this place was filled with all kinds of people from all walks of life. And when we walked in, it's like we transitioned from this black and white Ukrainian winter to a colorful room of joy and laughter. There was so much happy music, beautiful, welcoming smiles. But most importantly, they presented the gospel to us in so many different, unique ways through singing, dancing, cartoons, movies, animations, flannel boards. It's like the gospel came alive. And then they brought out these beautiful and colorful shoeboxes. And when I opened my shoebox, it's like everything I imagined playing with growing up. It's like it showed up in a box. I had my own yo-yo. I didn't have to make one anymore. I had my own Hot Wheel cars and I had to play with my shoes pretending they were cars. I had my own toothbrush and I didn't have to share one anymore. And I had this dental floss that I thought was candy. But most importantly, I felt loved. And I always say that God is love. When you show love to people, you show God to people. When people experience love, they experience God. And once you experience that God's unconditional love, you will not walk away unchanged. And that's what you get to be a part of when you pack a shoebox. And I'm just so honored and blessed to serve alongside of you. May God bless you.
Amen. That's hard to follow. Good morning. I just want to talk a little bit about how you can pack a shoebox this year. Obviously, you can pack a shoebox. We have the boxes out here, and so if you want to pack a shoebox, you can. You can also donate online or by check or however you want to donate to Wiley. And just like last year, it'll all go into a big fund. And then maybe next year at Vacation Bible School, our kids can pack these great boxes. That'd be awesome. But the third way, and this is what Samaritan's Purse is really pushing this year because of the virus that shall not be named, you can actually build a shoebox online. So I went in to see how easy it was, and it was easy if I can do it. Naomi's going to get a link that will be shared online, and you can click on that link, and that way any box that you choose to build online will go like under Wiley's name or whatever. So you just click on it. You say a boy or girl. You say whatever age range you choose. And then they literally have little presents. And they'll say pick one big ticket item. You click. There was a soccer ball with a pump on there. So you could click that. A stuffed animal. Then it goes to the next thing. It has like hygiene items. And so it tells you how many to click. You just click on all of them. And then you wrap it up with a big bow. It's $25. So whatever works for you is great for us. It doesn't matter. Just bless these kids, and it's a blessing like tenfold for us. And I know that you know that if you've packed a box before. You can also add a $6 fee, might be seven this year, I'm not sure, it's nine to ship it. Nine to ship it, but then what is the greatest journey?
It helps shipping and the greatest
journey. Okay. $9 will ship it and also offer the greatest journey. And the greatest journey is the 12-week program that kids who want to come back and learn about our Savior Jesus Christ can study, and then they get a Bible when they finish the 12 weeks. So the $9 covers all of that. And that's strictly a donation if you choose. You don't even have to do that. So. Today, Naomi asked me if I would pray over the boxes, and I was just trying to think about what to say. And Mark, the book of Mark, the parable of the growing seed came to mind. This parable isn't very popular, really. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. And as soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. I love this little parable because it's relevant for the shoeboxes for sure. These shoeboxes that we're sending out are like those scattered seeds. You're the farmers, and we're just scattering them out there. We don't know where they're going to go, but we do know that God is going to grow them and produce an abundant harvest by what we do. And we know that he will use every word, every deed to spread his truth. So with that in mind, let's pray today. Heavenly Father, you are sovereign, and you already know where these 200 shoeboxes will go and which child they will bless with the sweet gifts from a total stranger who loves them. We pray that you will touch every shoebox and that you will call each child to seek you. We ask that your word be shared to extended families of these children, and that they too will come to know and believe in the precious gift of salvation provided for them by your Son. Please let these seeds grow and produce an abundant harvest in this hurting world. In the name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus. And if you will, please join me in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as we worship today, please feel free to bring your offerings forward or, of course, donate online.
My Good morning, Wiley Methodist Church. Good morning to our live stream as well. Glad that you are all with us this morning. Let me find that last song. I'm not going to mess up your set, I promise. It really struck me, if I can find it. Well, I'll just say it. How's that? You are God alone in the good times and the bad. And He's on the throne. He's God alone. So I think that's a word for us this morning. So if our praise team will come up, we'll close. No, you're not getting off that easy. Glad that you are here. If you are a member of our church, we're really blessed that you are with us this morning. Also online, I've been meaning to say this for several weeks. I know we have people from Ohio, Connecticut, Florida, and probably other places that are viewing us online, viewing our service and worshiping with us, and then also right here in good old Abilene, Texas. So we're glad that everyone is joining us, however you're doing that this morning. If you are our guest this morning, I'm especially glad that you are here. I want you to know that we love you, and we're glad that you're here. And more than that, you have a Savior that loves you. We have an app, Wiley Methodist app. I would love for you, not just our guests, there is a place for our guests to register, but also as our members to register and let us know you were here. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. These are the words of Christ. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. We probably ought to repeat that, shouldn't we? I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, there it is again, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And Jesus is meddling today, isn't He? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So Jesus gives us now the plan. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. I believe that's the third time He said that to us. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited You, and we trust in the promise of Your Word, that You will be where two or three are gathered in Your name. And so we gather in Your name, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, come. Manifest Yourself among us. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Got a question for you this morning. Some of you science folks, how much does this bottle of water weigh? It's It's about half full. Shout it out. How much do you think it weighs?
8 ounces.
That's close. That's a good try. Here. Hang on just a minute. That's a little less than 8 ounces. But how much does it weigh? Not what? Here's the deeper answer to that question. It depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it out like this, I'm doing it for a few seconds here now. It's not that heavy. What about if I hold it out like this for an hour? How about if I hold it out there all day long? How heavy is it then? You see, it's really not. It's probably a little less than 8 ounces. But it matters. What really matters is how long we hold it. Today's message is, worry not. Worry not. I actually read an article by a pastor out of Houston that I read a lot of his stuff. He's a very solid theologian and always has great thoughts. Rob Renfro. Some of y'all know about Rob Renfro and some don't. But pastor kind of inspired me with an article he wrote a few months ago. God's Word, we just read one place. God's Word says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Read that or quoted that passage last week when we prayed over the children. I referred to it again in my email this week. Don't be anxious, God's Word says, about anything. But in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So we don't worry. We give it to God, and peace results. But Jesus today, you know, it seems as though there's a lot of talk about worry and anxiety in God's Word. Why do you think that is? Probably because we worry and we're anxious. I think Jesus knew that. He's saying it several times in just these few verses. He's saying, worrying won't add a second to your life. It won't add a second to your life. Worrying, I said this a few months ago in a sermon, but it strikes me, it sure is, I think, appropriate. Go ahead and show that slide, Lee. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It gets you nowhere, but at least you have something to do. Doesn't that sum it up? The root word for worry means to choke or to strangle. And that's exactly what worry does. It chokes and it strangles the very life out of us. Worry, we know, it takes a physical and emotional toll on us. We become irritable when we worry. It can increase blood pressure. It can lead to health problems like heart attacks and all sorts of things. It also weakens us spiritually. It takes a spiritual toll. It weakens our faith, and this is important, it diminishes our witness. Hello. It diminishes, when we worry, it diminishes our witness. Now, I am not pointing a finger at you like I got my act all together, because I've been known to worry and be anxious as well. I think all of us have. I guess because of all these things that we're talking about, I guess that's why Jesus says very clearly, repeats it many times, don't do it. Don't worry. So I want us to just talk about a little bit about why we as Christians should not worry. First of all, worry not. Have faith in God's character. Now, if you don't understand who God is and how He feels about you and the promises He has made, His character, if you don't know that, then that will tend to lead us to worrying, being anxious. Look at the birds of the air, Jesus says. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? God's character is He has said that we belong to Him. He is our Father. We are His children. And to have faith in this God that this God of that character is to trust Him. When in trust and faith, it's not when everything's lined up perfectly. Trust and faith is when we have to trust that things are going to work out. Even when things look chaotic, we trust. This last Sunday, it was, by the way, if you didn't get a chance to go out to Camp Buttman, enjoy that. What a wonderful day that was to be able to see. Well, I don't know, we had between probably 125, 150 folks out there, and it was great. And the kids, I don't think we had two. We probably had some adults, but mostly the kids climbed the rock wall. Go ahead and show that slide. I'm not sure who that is. Eli. Is that Eli? Eli's climbing that rock wall, and they tether you to a spotter there that's got a rope that, in case you were to fall, will catch you. And Eli, as he's climbing that wall, has to have faith that this guy's going to do what he's supposed to do. He climbs the wall, and he's not sure that he can make it, but he's trust the man he's tethered to. Are we tethered to the Father? Do we trust Him? If we fall, if we stumble, if things don't go the way that we think they should go, do we trust in the character of God? Have you ever felt like God maybe has forgotten you, like He doesn't even know your name, like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and coming back? I think if we're honest, most of us have had those feelings. That's when you trust in the character of God instead of your feelings. Because feelings do this, but the character of God is steadfast. I like to look back when I'm struggling spiritually. I like to look back at the things God has done for me, the things He has brought me through. I've shared this a year or so ago. Cheryl, when we were going through our transition to ministry, she wrote, how many things you wrote? It was probably about 12, 15 different items that she was asking the Lord to honor these things. And y'all were on the list, even though it wasn't Wiley Methodist. One of the things that we prayed for was a body of believers to fit into, to love, to be a part of a body of believers. And she pulled that list out a year or so ago, and we looked down at God, and some of them, they weren't easy things, and God answered every single one of the things on the list. And so it's nice to be able to look back and go, you know what? God has brought me through a lot of stuff. And we remember it's because of God's character. In Joshua 4, the Lord told Joshua when they crossed the Jordan. Did you know that God parted two bodies of water, not just the Red Sea? Charlton Heston was already dead at that point. I mean Moses, I'm sorry. But Joshua was coming into the promised land, and he had the Jordan River was up, and it was high, and it was flowing, and they couldn't pass. And God said to take the leaders of the 12 tribes and to go out into the Jordan. And as they stepped their foot into the Jordan, the water parted. And they were able to cross on dry land. So God did it twice. And as they go into the promised land, God told Joshua, I want you to tell all of the leaders of the tribes, these 12 tribes, to go back and pick a stone up from where they crossed and take it, and we're gonna stand these stones up. And every time your children, for generations to come, every time they ask, what's the deal with the stones? They'll remember back to the faithfulness and the character of God that brought them into the promised land. We have standing stones in our own life. Things God has brought us through. And life Church, life is uncertain, but God's character is not. Secondly, worry not, have faith in God's promises. Have faith in His promises. So at the end of these verses that we read today, Jesus, He's talking about not worrying. And then He gives us the solution. He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, all of our material things, all of the things we worry about, all those things will be taken care of if we seek Him, if we place our faith in Him, because He is good for His promises. So the psalmist, one of my favorite psalms, some trust in chariots, some in horses, which was the power of that day was based in these mighty armies that had chariots. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So today we might say that some trust in our intellect, some trust in our wisdom, our financial resources, on and on and on. We can put our trust in things that are sinking sand, fleeting. Circumstances can take those things away from us. Whenever we hear a loved one has been diagnosed with cancer or a child is addicted to drugs, when a friend betrays you, when your heart is broken, you're going to find that you need strength greater than what you possess and what this world can provide. Where does that come from? You need to trust in the promises of God. I'm going to just go through a few of them. I think they're, if most of you don't have a physical handout, but if you're looking at the handout online, it's there. Jeremiah 29:11, right over there, and that's a little bit, it's a different version of it. So I'll quote it in NIV. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's a promise from the Lord. He knows what you need. He has a plan for you. And His plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. And that verse has really taken on a brand new significance in these months. Jesus, I can just see Jesus holding out His hand and saying, just come to me. If you're burdened, if you're weary, if you're worried, if you're anxious, come to me. I'm going to give you rest. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Promises from God. Hebrews, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, the Lord says. Life is uncertain, but God's promises are not. And then thirdly, worry not, have faith in God's provision. Have faith in His provision. Now, when everything is going absolutely perfect in our life, which is a fairly short period of time that we have those moments, when everyone's healthy and everyone's happy, everybody's getting along, we got plenty of money in the bank, we got plenty of friends, everybody likes us, when everything's lining up, it doesn't take any faith or trust to deal with that. Life is good. But when some of those things begin to get out of kilter, we have to trust in God's provision, that He will provide these things. Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And in Philippians, the Apostle Paul, I love this. He uses this word learned. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. How do you think Paul learned to be content in all circumstances? Trials. He had been beaten. People that he loved had betrayed him. He had been in shipwrecks. Churches that he had established had faltered and were not walking in the gospel. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. He spent many times, much time in prisons. I know what it is to be in need, he says. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He's learned through trials that God is faithful, that his provision is there. Did you know, I did a little research on this. I looked at some studies about this. They have done studies that 85% or so of the things we worry about never happen. Did you know that? And so it's kind of like that rocking chair where, you know, we just, I'm not going anywhere, but this, I got something to do. 85% never happened. And the studies go on to show that out of the 15% that do happen, 79% of the time in those cases, the result was not nearly as bad as that what they were worrying about. Man, I am convinced, church, that we can't be anxious about the future and live a full, abundant, joyful, Christ-centered life. If we are worrying about what's to come, life is uncertain, but God's provision is not. So lastly, I'm going to wrap it up with this real quickly. So what are some practical ways that we can, quote, worry not? What are some practical ways? And I've listed these in the handout if you want to get online and look at these. But to pray and trust God. And it's important to pray and trust God. Not just the prayer part, but trust him. And listen, prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not just us telling God what we need, but it's also listening to God. He will assure our hearts that he's in control. Read the scripture. I say this all the time. Get in the Word. Don't rely on me to tell you what it says. Many people have given their lives that we have these in our home, that we have these in our hand. Read the Word. It's the Word of life. Listen to Christian music. Whatever flavor you like, listen to something that fills your heart and fills your soul with godly messages. Cut way back on social media and the news. Hello. Steve, is this on? Where are you at, Steve? Is it on? Cut way back. Because I'm telling you, I remember a day, and I know some of you are older than I am. I remember a day when the news was to keep us informed. Now, it's not. Everything you turn on, everything you read, everything you listen to has an agenda. And it's generally negative. If we allow ourselves, I've told you, I have virtually eliminated watching the news these last few months. Every once in a while, I stumble onto it and I watch for about 30 seconds and I start kind of, you know, feeling something come up in my throat, so I change it. It really doesn't even matter what station or what we listen to, but I mean, it's almost all negative news. It's like if we're feeding ourselves this stuff all the time, what do you think is going to come out of us? Worry, anxiety, negative, hatred, anger, all kinds of stuff. Cut way back on it, church. And this is important. Serve others. Take your mind off of yourself. Now, these boxes bless me, church, to just see, because it represents so many of you that your mind was on someone else, doing something for somebody else. Blessings. Can you imagine this video we watched earlier? Can you imagine being 9 years old and getting your first Christmas present? How many of you were 9 when you got your first Christmas present? Probably none of us. How many of you been sharing a toothbrush with your family? Every once in a while, Cheryl and I do by accident, but that's a different story. I told her the red one was mine, okay? Man, just bless others, serve others, and count your own blessings. Life is uncertain, but God is good. And He's got our back. He's got our back. We don't have to worry about stuff. He's got our back. The praise team will come up as we pray. Jesus, forgive us that we worry. You tell us not to. You tell us not to be anxious, but we do it. That's when we're placing our faith in other things besides you. And I confess that to you, Lord, and I ask you to forgive me when I do that. Bless us that we might bless others. Give us that faith. Give us that trust. Help us to seek first your kingdom. Show us how, Lord. Lead us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand, if you're able to close out with this worship song, at the end of the service for our guests, I will be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you. I have a free gift for you. If you don't know this Jesus that you can place your trust in, please come and see me. Let's talk about it. He loves you and He knows you. As we stand. Transcends understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Go and tell someone we have the good news. In Jesus' name. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.